Welcome back to the Born a Ball podcast today. And guys, we got a lot to talk about on this beautiful October the 18th. Today, we're going to recap the ALCS, NLCS, Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football. We'll also look into college football Saturday and Friday. And we'll also look into the NFL Sunday slate. So, as usual, thank you for listening, tapping in, like, follow, share. And as usual, let's get into it. No, I said NBA for today, the West especially, but we're going to do that on Monday. I'll explain at the end of the podcast why we're going to do it. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. Let's talk the Jets and Bills. Now, it was a sloppy game for the Bills, but I expected it to be a lot bigger. And it started with the kickers. Zerline, he missed two field goals. Tyler Bass himself missed a field goal and extra point. I mean, sloppy from the kickers. Offensively, both teams did okay. For the Bills, they had 359 total yards of offense, 19 completions for Josh Allen, 25 attempts, 215 yards of two passing TDs. You know, kind of looked like Houdini on a few plays, but, you know, still Patrick Mahomes' son. Ray Davis in the stepping, he had a step up for injured James Cook, who was out. He had 20 carries, 97 yards. He also had three catches for 55 yards, and total 152 scrimmage yards. A big game for the rookie out of Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken. Dalton Kincaid kind of showed up, you know, six catches, 51 yards. Kyle Coleman only had three catches for 26. Mac Hollins had a touchdown. By the way, Mac Hollins makes some interesting TikToks, you know, so you should follow that account. But offensively, you know, they did their thing. You know, they also had three sacks on defense and a late-game interception. My God, that was hilarious. You know, I'll talk about that real quick, you know. But A-Rod, I mean, 23 completions, 294 yards, two touchdowns, an interception. He really didn't look washed. Of course, he found his favorite target in Garrett Wilson, 8 catches, 170 yards, and 1 TD. But he has a new favorite target coming in. We'll talk about that in a second. Breece Hall had himself a great day on the ground. 18 carries, 113 yards, 169 yards in total. Alan Lazard, of course, caught the Hail Mary. 6 catches, 114 yards, and a tutty. So, you know, they kind of did their thing. A-Rod's two favorite targets right now. They're about to get bumped to the second and three, the third, though. Defensively, you know, they didn't do really bad at all. You know, I think 23 builds. Offense of the Bills offense isn't bad, but granted, they were missing James Cook, but Ray Davis did step up. And they also, you know, don't have the best receiving core out there. But of course, you know, that improved after the game on Tuesday, which we'll talk about in a second. But yeah, solid game. Can't complain. You know, Jets had a chance to win it, but A-Rod missed Mike Evans. And the problem is it's A-Rod's fault. You can't blame Mike Williams. Mike Williams runs the route. You know, if A-Rod hits him in stride, Mike Williams could catch it. A few yards between before he goes out of bounds, but no, A-Rod kind of misses him. Yeah, I don't know. He underthrows it, interception. Mike Williams gets hurt. But speaking of receivers, real quick, the final score was, of course, 23-20. Bills, both defenses look solid. Josh Allen, I don't think is really MVP. I'd give it to Lamar right now. Josh Allen's just been playing okay. Nothing that's just opened my eyes, but. Well, since we're talking, you know, Mike Williams, let's talk about the two other receivers both teams acquired. On Tuesday, first, it was Davante Adams to the Jets. I mean, I personally, for the Raiders, I mean, it is what it is. You got the guy out of there. I feel like you should have traded him before the season. Because here's the thing. You were never going to be good with Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell. Davante Adams was never just going to be okay with playing with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. That team was doomed from the start. You were obviously the fourth best team, in the AFC West. In the stacked AFC, you were not going to make the playoffs. You're just going to waste a year of Davante Adams, and I don't know why you wouldn't expect drama to show up from that. I mean, it was just so obvious. But in other news for the Raiders, Tom Brady is finally a partial owner. Even as an announcer, since he's a partial owner, he can't participate in announcer-like things when he's covering for Fox, you know. You know, when the Fox announce team goes to interview Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, the Niners, this and that, it's only going to be, what is his name, Joe Davis? Is that who it is on, you know, the main Fox broadcast? I don't know. Regardless, whoever his partner is, Greg Bernhardt, oh my God, I don't know. I felt like his name was Greg, so I'm going to say Greg. Only one guy is going to be able to interview in the production team. You know, Tom Brady can't be in there, which is kind of lame. It's like, you're never going to be fully as equipped as an announcer. You maybe be able to ship some questions you might want to ask and let Greg Bernhardt, God, I don't know his name, brother, but let your announcing partner do it. But I don't know why I'm sidetracked. Anyways, Davante Adams to the Jets. For the Jets, desperation, you know, 2-4, stacked AFC, out the playoffs. I get it, but at the same time, I don't, because, you know, it's not going to get easy. You got the Steelers right here, and the Steelers could really kind of put a nail in the coffin, because, like, 2-5, you still got to play the Bills again. And then after the Steelers, you got the Patriots, okay. And then you get the Texans on Thursday Night Football. Then you get the Cardinals, Colts, two teams that could very well upset you. Then you get Seahawks, Dolphins, Jags, Rams, Bills. End it off with the Dolphins. So right now, the way I look at it is I personally got them losing to the Steelers on Sunday on the road. I got you losing to the Texans right there after the Texans game. You're 3-6. Boom. November, I have you dropping one to the Cardinals or Jets. It's crazy you only got two games in November. I don't know how the hell that works. Anyways, yeah, I got you dropping a game to the Cardinals or Jets. I'm dumb as hell. The Cardinals or Colts, I have you dropping one to them. And then the Seahawks, Dolphins, Jags, Rams, Bills. I could see you losing to the Rams and Bills. But very well, you could run the table. I don't think they do. I think they lose to the Steelers, Texans, one of the Cardinals, Colts. That puts them at 7. But if you told me they went on to win their next 6, I would give it to them. You know, you'd have 7 losses. You win your next 6. That's not bad. I mean, what? You'd have a chance to be 10-7. Maybe you make the playoffs. I'd give you that. But I don't know. It's very unlikely. You are in a hole right now. So it's going to be interesting to watch Sunday night, because it's going to be a lot of panic if you lose this game still. But if I had to give a trade, I'd give the Raiders an F because of how long you waited to hold Davante Adams for. And for the Jets, I'd give you a B+, because you have a... I mean, this is cool. For the future, I like this because, you know, maybe you can build a relationship with Davante Adams, keep him in New York for a few years, and that guy that succeeds, I mean, excuse me, the guy that's A-Rod's successor will have a solid receiving corps. And here's my thing. I think the Jets should trade up for Shedeur Sanders. When we get to draft time, I'll open that up a little more. But they have to lose a few more games before I start talking draft talk for the Jets. But on the flip side of things, for the Bills, a few hours later after the Davante Adams trade, they went out to get Amari Cooper. Real quick for a trade, I'll give the Bills an A, the Browns a C. Alright, for the Browns side of things, I mean, you were bad. Nobody's really going to want to play with Deshaun Watson. Especially, you know, Amari Cooper, he's getting older. So being on a bad team isn't what he's looking for. So, I mean, it was obvious why he probably didn't want to be there. As for the Bills, it's a great move. Your wide receiver core going into the season was already, you know, everybody was already questioning. Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, Mac Hollins. Like, that's really not solid, you know. Amari Cooper rises you up a little more, and as you got to play one more game with the Jets down the line, but you're in the Dolphins, you know, hell. If a QB can get their head on their shoulders and, you know, actually play good ball, the Dolphins aren't that bad as a team, especially offensively, and they can keep up with you. The Patriots are the Patriots, but, I mean, when you got big games down the line, still against Kansas City, some division games, you know, having a better wide receiver in that core is important. So I respect them for that. And, yeah, on the Chiefs side of things, not getting Amari Cooper sucks, but I'm guessing they just didn't want an older wide receiver. I just hope after Sunday we realize that we need to get somebody like the Deontay Johnson. So everybody join the prayer circle, and let's hope for Deontay Johnson. But that's it for Monday Night Football. It's kind of just hilarious that the two teams play a game, and then the next day they both trade for a receiver. I think the Jets getting Davante Adams immediately led the Bills to go and get Amari Cooper. I think they were already in talks, but they didn't go for it yet. But after that, I feel like they just went for it, because once the one guy went, they were probably scared that another guy would go and somebody would get a better offer for Amari Cooper. But anyways, though, that's it for Monday Night Football. Let's go right into Thursday Night Football. I don't need to pause for this because it's probably one of the worst games we'll have all season. Broncos and Saints. Broncos won this one 33-10. A lot of them, America, especially the gamblers, had Alvin Kamara scoring a tutty. He had 7 carries for 10 yards, 24 yards total. Biggest dud ever. A lot of people had Courtland Sutton getting over on his yards. He had 1 target, 0 catches. Bad day for gamblers, because I thought this was the most obvious game to stay away over. I saw people say have Bo Nix on the over. Javonte Williams wasn't gonna score. Nah, like this is probably the worst game you could probably bet on all year. I don't know why you would think that this was game was worth it. But I mean, hell, do your thing, bro. I mean, this is probably just a terrible game to bet on and a terrible game to watch. For New Orleans, the day you put Saint, excuse me, Drew Brees in the Saints Hall of Fame. You get blown out by Sean Payton by 20. Bo Nix. Like, walk in your trap, take over your trap. That's what the Broncos did, especially Sean Payton in it. That was just insane, man. There really isn't much to talk about this game. For the Saints, I know you're missing Derek Carr, but damn. 20 to the Broncos. For the Broncos side of things, no Patrick Surtain. You're 4-3 right now. I mean, respect. I mean, you're finally playing like I expected you to. Good. No, I respect this team, and I think they very well can make a 6 or 7 seed. But yeah, as of now, that's it for Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football. Not much to talk about the second game, but a lot to talk about with the first. So now let's just dive into some baseball. All right, man. As we're sitting here on Friday, October 18th, the Dodgers are up 3-1. The New York Yankees are up 2-1. So last time I talked to you, it was Sunday. Excuse me, it's Monday, but after Sunday, the Mets were down 1-0 after Dodgers won 9-0. Monday, really ain't much to talk about. Neither of these games were like exciting. I mean, 7-3, Mets tied it up. 5-2, Yankees got went up 1-0. Tuesday, same story, Yankees 2-0, 6-3. Dodgers went up 2-1, 8-0 on Wednesday. And then Thursday, a little more electric on the AL side of things, but we'll talk about the NL real quick. I mean, 10-2. Max Muncy has been electric all series. He's reached base like 12 times. He's just been electric. One of the clutch players for the Shohei Ohtani's hit multiple home runs. Lead home run in the first inning last yesterday. Excuse me. Had a bomb in game 3. I mean, dude, he showed up big time. You know, he's exceeded my expectations I had from the playoffs. I thought he was going to be a shell of himself. Mookie Betts has also showed up. So pretty huge, man. It's kind of embarrassing if you can't win the series. You're up 3-1, but you can't count the Mets out yet. They're going to be at home, backs against the wall. Think the Mets can really pull off 2 wins. Hell, they could pull off 3 in a row. I believe in them. I think they can. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Dodgers win this 1-7. But either way, as long as they ain't the Yankees. But speaking of the Yankees, they were up 2-0 with a chance to be up 3-0. Man, it was an interesting game last night. It was electric. I mean, they kick it off top second. Yankees up 1-0. Then Kyle Manzardo hits a home run. And boom, you know, they're up 2-0. 2-1, excuse me. Andre Jimenez hits a ground ball to center. 3-1. And then, boom, Aaron Judge ties it up top eighth. Clutch home run. And everybody in New York, everybody in modern America believes Aaron Judge is awake. Legacy home run right there. Legacy. He just tied it up. He could get them 3-0, a game closer to the damn World Series. And Giancarlo Stanton hits another home run. Boom. 4-3. And then the Guardians, it ain't their luck, but boy, Big Christmas. I can't even pronounce his first name. Gerontkazi Noel? He's Big Christmas. I don't know why, but he hits two outs. He hits a two-run bomb, ties the game up. Everybody in Cleveland is electric. They go to the extra innings. Aaron Judge strikes out, but we get to the bottom of the 10. David Fry hits a two-run bomb. Guardians walk it off. Now, my biggest takeaway from this game was, boom, both closers got shelled. Emmanuel Clase, back-to-back home runs. Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, he lost the lead. 3 home runs he's given up this postseason to compare to, I think, only 2 in the regular season, which is insane to think about. He's kind of fallen off as a postseason player. But on the flip side of things, Luke Weaver, who was electric all series versus the Royals, unfortunately, he kind of got shelled too. Big Christmas, 2-run bomb ties the game up. So both closers got shelled. Like, I guess, like, I forgot who said it. Somebody said, I think it was the guy opposite of Bob Costas in the Royals Yankees series, but he says to win a game in this series, you're eventually going to beat the other team's closer. And he's right. For the Yankees, I mean, you did it to Emmanuel Clase. You were about to beat their closer, but it put you up 3-0, 1 win away from the World Series. On the flip side of things, for the Guardians, though, down 2-0, backs against the wall, You defeat Luke Weaver, excuse me. And now it's 2-1. Another game in Cleveland tonight. I think all momentum's on their side. I wouldn't be shocked if this is a blowout going to the Guardians. And if it is 2-2, I have the Guardians winning this series right now. I find it that game just gave them a lot of juice to prove to the fans and to themselves that they're not out of this yet. Yes, it's been bad hiccups in game one, game two, but they're back into this. So in my opinion, I think the Guardians win this one in five. And is it five? Would it be five? No, six, excuse me. They would win it in six. They win three straight, and they go to the World Series to either meet the Dodgers or the Mets. That's for the Dodgers Mets side of things. I want to keep believing in the Mets, but it depends probably by the third. And if you can go through the first lineup, of course, if you can get through that first run of the lineup, I think you win this game. But if you can't, you give up a run in any of the first three innings or four innings, I'm probably going to go with the Dodgers. So this is going to be a game time decision for me to determine who wins this game or series. Right now, I'm going to still believe in the Mets. I had Mets in seven anyways. I think I had Guardians in five or six. I think the five kind of fell out, but the six is still available. So my prediction is still available between the Mets and Guardians World Series. I'd love to see Francisco Lindor versus the Guardians. I'd love that. Or I'd also love the Dodgers to whoop the Yankees. I mean, as long as it ain't the Yankees, all right? Fans are some geezers, especially a few of them. But anyways, though, electric to say the least. The Mets and Dodgers series, though, has kind of been disappointing. It's been a blowout. It's been very boring. Not going to lie to you. Guardian side of things and Yankees, I think it'll be a little more better. I think, you know, these teams are going to handle business. But I think the Guardians blow them out tonight, in my opinion. And I think they will eventually go on to win the series in six. But as of now, that's it for baseball. When we get here Monday, let me see how the games are set up. So today, it's, of course, both teams play. Tomorrow, though, it'll only be the Yankees and Guardians. So let's say the Guardians win tonight and tomorrow. They'll be up 3-2. And then Sunday, game six. So basically, I think on Monday, we'll see a game seven and game six. They're both scheduled to be there. I think we'll see it, you know. But if not, I very well could come back and the Yankees win back-to-back games and the Dodgers win today or Sunday and we're looking at a Dodgers-Yankees World Series. Or the Mets force a game seven and the Guardians win back-to-back and on Monday they are 1 win away from the World Series. Hey, it's possible, but as of now, that's it for baseball. Can't wait to talk about what we got Monday, but those are my predictions. For the weekend, I got the Guardians win back-to-back game six. I think they can win Monday. For the Mets, I got them winning back-to-back today and Sunday to force a game seven. So that's going to be interesting. Can't wait. Hopefully we get a game six and seven. But yeah, that's it for right now. We'll talk about some college football about right now. All right, sorry for that corny stunt I just pulled, man. But for college football, though, let's talk about the Friday games. You know these Friday games can deliver, baby. If you want to watch some ACC action, you got the 1-5 Seminoles in Florida State taking on the 5-1 Duke Blue Devils. On Fox, you got 6-0 Oregon, ranked number 2 in the country, versus 1-5 Purdue. You also got some Big 12 action, 3-3 Oklahoma State, led by Ollie Gordon, who I think has been very disappointing, versus BYU, who is 6-0. And then if you also want some late night Mountain West action, Fresno State versus Nevada. But Saturday, this is why we're here. We got some good games, man. On Big Noon Kickoff, I think, for the 11 a.m., you got Nebraska 5-1 versus Indiana, ranked 16th in the country, 6-0. That's going to be a good game. Dylan Raiola versus Indiana. Indiana's coach has been going viral just for being a hilarious guy. He's pretty funny. But in this game, I know I really don't watch the Big Ten. You know, I don't keep up with these two teams. I'm more of an SEC guy, if you feel me. But Indiana-Nebraska, in my opinion, I think Indiana wins this. I think they are a better team, but I wouldn't be shocked if Nebraska also won. 11 a.m., you got a Tiger battle in the SEC. Number 19, Mizzou. 2-4, Auburn. Give me Mizzou. I think Mizzou dominates in this game, by the way. I think they'll get their groove back before Alabama. Hopefully you dominate. If you don't, then I'm a little scared because obviously you're going to be looking shaky heading into Alabama. But get your confidence up. Get your juice up. Handle Auburn, and then I feel good versus Alabama. You also got Louisville versus Miami, ABC, 11 a.m. Miami's favored by 5. They could be on upset watch. Who knows? You also got Virginia versus Clemson, another ACC upset watch. Keep your eyes on that. 5-1 Arizona versus 4-2 Cincinnati, ESPN Plus. Damn. Also SEC Network, USC versus Oklahoma. Damn, dude. You also got a ranked matchup on CBS, 4-2, Michigan versus 5-1 Illinois. You know, I'll go Illinois on this one. I just think the Wolverines are fried. Notre Dame 5-1, Georgia Tech 5-2. For the first time, Notre Dame is on ESPN. No, I'm playing. I always play on NBC, which is disgusting, but give me Notre Dame in this one. Georgia Tech is kind of fluky in my eyes. Later in the day, you got Alabama, number 7 versus 5-1. Tennessee, 11. Alabama's favored by 3. 2:30 p.m., ABC. Big SEC action. This is a hard game to call because now both teams kind of look shaky. Both teams lost to Arkansas and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt for Alabama, Arkansas for Tennessee. Both teams kind of looked shaky last week. Was it Tennessee barely scraped out versus Florida in overtime? Alabama barely scraped out by South Carolina. So this very well could be a great. I think it's gonna be a great game just because of what both teams have done. Both teams have dropped the game to lesser opponents. Both teams just came out of back to. Both teams just played a game where they almost got upset again. So this is gonna be very interesting to watch, in my opinion. Who I think wins? I think Alabama. I trust Jalen Milroe in this game. No, Nico, not to say he's played bad, but I think Jalen Milroe has played in bigger games. I think Alabama gets the win. I'd say probably by a field goal. Alabama is favored by 3, so I think they would do that and win by a field goal. So give me the Crimson Tide. You got 2-4 Houston in Arrowhead beating 1-5. Kansas, yep, I said beat. Yep, Kansas is going to lose another game, and then they're going to have their backs against the wall because one more loss means no bowl, which I hope. Anyways, you also got down in the line, you got Colorado versus Arizona, 3 p.m. on Fox. Very well. Big game for two Big 12 schools. 4-2 Colorado, 3-3 Arizona. Give me Arizona winning this one. They're favored by 2.5. Colorado on the road in the middle of the day. I'm going to go Arizona on this one, you know. Ted McMillan, expect a big game out of him. That's my guarantee of the week for college football. You also got 5-1 LSU versus 4-2 Arkansas. Arkansas has been performing above my expectations. They're performing very well. All right, 6 p.m., they very well could make something shake, and they could upset LSU. A top 10 win, most dev gets you ranked probably in the top 15 for Arkansas. And we could be talking about Arkansas as a real college football playoff team, or at least an option for it, but I don't think that can happen. A little down the line, you got Georgia versus Texas, which is going to be the big game of the day. Keep your eyes on that. Number 5, Georgia. Number 1, Texas. Texas at home favored by 4.5. 4.5 is kind of crazy. I think this will be a very close game. I think this is Texas by far. Texas' best opponent, of course. So I just don't know how to feel about that, you know. They took on Michigan earlier in the year, but, you know, Michigan just isn't that good as we expected. OU really doesn't count. It's kind of crazy, though, watching Texas play all these SEC teams, man. They're really in the SEC. This is so crazy, dude. But, yeah, they're 6-0. You got to give me Texas, in my opinion. I believe in them, but only by a field goal or 1 or 2 points. I think Georgia will compete very hard. But I wouldn't be shocked if Georgia also gets blown out. But this is a big statement game for Texas. You either prove that you're by far the best team in the country, or you prove that you are beatable. Which, of course, every team in America is beatable. But, hell, I think, you know, you could prove yourself to be, like, another level above teams if you can handle Georgia. When I mean handle, you win by, I'd say double digits. You could win by 10. I think people would say you handled them, depending on how the game goes. But if you win by 2 or more touchdowns, I think you handle them. And, you know, that'd be very impressive. Helps your resume a lot. But that's probably it for the night. Yeah, it's probably the best night game. You know, you got two big SEC games. You got a few Big 10 games right there. You also got a few Big 12 games. Some got some impact, some don't. I can't wait, though. It's going to be a good game. Good slate, in my opinion. You know, we're going to see some heaters on there. Now I got to ask myself, do I want ESPN Plus? Because, you know, college basketball is coming around, you know, and they stream a lot of college basketball games on ESPN Plus. And I don't think it's bad. In hindsight, like, all the games you have available to you for, like, what, $10 a month? All the articles, like, streaming? Like, that's not bad. I think it's not a bad investment, but yeah. Those are the games to watch, the main ones I talked about. I gave you some of the winners. You also got Kansas State versus West Virginia. West Virginia could upset Kansas State. I wouldn't be shocked. Yeah. Not a bad slate. You know, in the end, you got Utah versus TCU, 9:30 ESPN. TCU can win that. Sonny Dykes, loser. Anyways, good slate. Good games. For college football, that's it. We'll recap all of it and all the big stuff that happened on Monday. That happened Saturday. We'll talk about it on Monday, of course. But, yeah. Now we can talk about some NFL, you know, the big boys. Pause on the big boys statement, man. But when I look at this slate right here, I think we got some heaters. I enjoy it, man. To kick it off, we're in London again. Jaguars hosting the Patriots. Of course, they are hosting them. London is their second city. So, in my opinion, I think the Jags win this one. I think the NFL scheduled that for a reason, you know. You get the Bears. Everybody thought once you drafted Caleb Williams, you added a few pieces, that you're probably going to be a better team. You're going to be at the same level as the Jaguars. So that led for a chance for the Jaguars to lose a game in London. But they're in their heads, they like, we can't let that happen. They got to at least win once in London, right? So they gave them another game versus the Patriots, a clear lesser opponent. But don't be shocked if Drake May makes something pop and he upsets the Jaguars. But right now, I got the Jaguars winning this one, man. Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, Dougie P. They'll get their little dub. They'll get their second win of the season. They'll continue to have their fingers crossed and hope they can run the table, make some stuff shake, and get some big wins down the line. But yeah, give me the Jaguars winning this one. And what I think could be the highest scoring game of the week, we got the Falcons and Seahawks, two of the NFL's best passing teams, especially the Seahawks. Never run a damn ball. Because of that, I got the Falcons winning the game. I think both teams will pass the ball a lot. It will be high scoring. But what will separate it is the Falcons will have a lead or they will have the ball late in the game. Guess what they're going to be able to do? They're going to be able to run the ball, take some time off the clock, and boom, win the game. That's what I got. That's what I think is going to happen. But it's going to be a high-scoring game, an entertaining one. You got superstars all over the field. DK, Bijan, Drake London. Now, when I say superstars, I'm going to drop down to good players. Darnell Mooney, Tyler Lockett, JSN, Kirk, Geno. I mean, you got guys on the play all over the field that can make plays, especially defensively. You know, Justin Simmons, AJ Terrell, Jesse Bates. You got guys, man, you got playmakers all over this game. So it's going to be interesting to watch. Both teams need this win mainly the Seahawks. You know, because, you know, the NFC West is still open. So that's mainly for the Seahawks. I think the Falcons also need it because, you know, the Bucks are right up there with you. But yeah, give me the Falcons winning this one. Next, you got Titans, Bills. I don't need to talk about this one, man. Get the Bills. Give me the Bills. Wouldn't be shocked if the Bills played with their food, though, and this game was close for at least the first half. But overall, I think the Titans just aren't going to be good enough. I think we're 1 week closer to seeing DeAndre Hopkins shipped out of there. No reason to keep the vet with Will Levis. It's just not going to be worth it. In my opinion, it's just like, come on, dog. Like, that's just really worth it, really, just keeping him. And he shouldn't want to be there either. I thought he should have never went there in the first place. Him and Calvin Ridley. I wouldn't be shocked if both of them got shipped. In my opinion, I think there's nothing wrong with taking those guys out, bringing up the guys on your practice squad that you believe in and let those guys roll. Because obviously your season's over. You're not going to win the NFC, AFC South. You're not going to make the playoffs. So why not give Will Levis and these young guys a chance to play? You're on the flip side, I can see why you want to keep those veterans because you want good playmakers with Will Levis to levitate his play. But either or, I think we're looking at the last few weeks of seeing DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley on that Titans team. But if one gets traded, I think one stays. But I wouldn't be shocked that both got shipped off or one got cut and one got traded. But anyways, give me the Bills winning this one. Amari Cooper, I don't know if he's playing for sure. He might get a few snaps, but I wouldn't be shocked if he walked out this game with 4 catches, 67 yards on TD. And everybody's like, oh, Amari Cooper, Josh Allen MVP, question mark. This is also a big game for Josh Allen. If we're serious about his MVP talks, he needs an MVP type game. Excuse me. Probably one of the worst teams he plays not named the Patriots this season, so he's going to need a good game. Speaking of the Bills, speaking of Amari Cooper, let's talk about the team they traded with, the Browns. I got them losing to the Bengals. I think this is going to be a statement game. Another week of Deshaun Watson playing miserable, just being bad. I think it's going to be another week. Kevin Stefanski is going to question why the hell Deshaun Watson's on the roster. The dog pound is going to be upset. I got the Bengals winning in considerable fashion. Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Joe Burrow. I think they'll light the field up. They'll light that scoreboard up. And they'll walk out away of their home state in Ohio with a dub. They're going to take a few hours to head back to Cincinnati and claim that dub. I mean, to be honest with you, I just don't believe in this Brown team at all. No Amari Cooper, Myles Garrett, not always questionable, but you know, a little banged up, terrible QB play, no playmakers. I don't see, it's going to be hard for me to believe these guys can win a game for the rest of the season. I mean, just not having no playmakers at the NFL level is just huge. Granted, Nick Chubb is back though, but I love Nick Chubb, but he shouldn't have to have a crazy workload. You're going to have to, like, slowly bring him into this. Even at that, he's getting older. Of course, coming off the injury. You can't depend on Nick Chubb to be your only guy. So, no real playmakers out there. Excluding maybe, what, David Njoku, if you consider him a playmaker. But, yeah. Give me the Bengals winning this one. Running up the score. Multiple scores. Just give me this one, man. Give me the Bengals, easily. Next up, though, in a aura battle, two of the best QBs in the league, best looking QBs in the league, in a light skin battle, whew, one for the ages. CJ Stroud travels to Green Bay to play the Packers. Jordan Love, CJ Stroud. Three great wide receiver cores, but unfortunately, Nico Collins is injured, though. You know, I would have been amazing if he played, man. I mean, what? Stephon, Tank, Nico, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs. I mean, would have been electric, all right? In this game, though, I got the Texans. This was a hard game to think about. I wouldn't be shocked either or, but I think this Texans team is a little better. I think they'll be able to apply pressure. Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, I think they'll be able to apply pressure on Jordan Love, and they can win this game. But if the Packers get this rushing attack going, get that play action popping, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the Packers pull this win off at home. Both teams need it. A good statement win versus a good team. So this is going to be a great game in my opinion. Fortunately, it's not going to be on prime time for the Jets and Steelers. Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers gets more love than these guys. But anyways, though, I think the Texans win this one. It's going to be a good game for both teams, but I think the Texans come out the dub. Late game field goal, late game touchdown. Can't wait to see this one. Two good running backs, Joe Mixon, Josh Jacobs. So, yeah, going to be a good game, but give me the Texans. Next up, Colts, Dolphins. Jonathan Taylor's out, unfortunately, which makes me remind myself I have to go take about my fantasy lineup. You got Anthony Richardson back in the lineup versus Snoop Huntley. Yeah, give me the Colts. I think Anthony Richardson is big. Oh, being back is big. Pause. That's going to be big for them. Alec Pierce, Michael Pittman. You got playmakers for Anthony Richardson at home. I don't like this Dolphins team at all anymore, man. Like, I just don't. There's nothing for me to believe in them, man. Your QB play is just so poor. Tyler Huntley. I mean, excuse me, Snoop Huntley, what he goes by now. Skylar Thompson aren't going to cut it. I mean, Tua's. Nobody knows when Tua's going to come back, damn it. I mean, unfortunate, really, it really is. These guys are stacked with offensive talent, and they're going to lose another game. But if there is a game to win, this is probably the one for the Dolphins, though, on that one. So I wouldn't be shocked if they did win this game, but it would take a bad game offensively for the Colts for the Dolphins to win this one because, I mean, boy, both teams, I don't know, man. Both teams need to win. I think Dolphins need to win more, but the Dolphins with Snoop Huntley, I don't know. I don't know if they can pull it off on the road, so give me the Colts. Yeah, just give me the Colts in this one, man. Next up, though, another good game involving NFC North team. We got the Lions and Vikings. Unfortunately, you know, the way this slate is set up, I'll rant real quick. You got, in my opinion, you got some good games, like Seahawks, Falcons, Packers, Texans, Lions, Vikings, Chiefs, Niners, all today, all on Sunday, excuse me, and of course, for the Chiefs and Niners, that's nationally televised on Fox. Like, the other two games are on CBS. They're not even going to mess with that. That's basically a primetime game right there, Chiefs-Niners. But damn it, you got the Packers and Lions and Texans-Packers both at the same time. That sucks, in my opinion. If I was commission, I would have flexed the Cardinals and Packers. Ooh, damn, never mind. They got them playing at 9 p.m.? Damn. Oh, that's 8 p.m. Well, it don't even matter. I'd flex them out, all right? I would have put the Packers and Titans out for Cardinals and Chargers. And I would have put the damn Lions and Vikings, let that be the main game. But instead, we're going to have two games, red zone worthy, Octobox. Hell, don't even get the Octobox. Just give me two screens. Give me the Vikings. Give me the Lions. Give me the Packers. Give me the Texans. I want to watch those two games. But anyways, though, Vikings-Lions. Sam Darnold, Jared Goff. Two good teams, the 5-0, the undefeated Vikings versus the 4-1 Lions. Two teams just had a bye week. I got the Vikings winning this one at home. No, this is going to be the statement win of the season. Yes, you beat the Texans. Yes, you blew them out. But this is a statement win. Rival, NFC North. The problem for the Lions is losing Aiden Hutchinson is so big. Your best defender, your best pass rusher, one of the best in the league. You're going to come out this game after he got injured, and I just think now, here's the thing. When a guy gets injured, when a leader like that gets injured, there's two ways it could go. Either people are shaken, and you just aren't the same team you were the week previous when he got injured. Or B, you have a lot of juice, and you want to just use the energy of losing your brother, and you play amazing. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Lions blew the Vikings out, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Vikings won. That's where I stand at. Right now, I got the Vikings winning. Justin Jefferson, Sam Darnold. I got the Vikings winning late game touchdown, maybe field goal. But if the Lions won, I probably would see a blowout. So as crazy as I seem, if the Lions were to win this game at any point, I think they'd win considerably. But if the Vikings were to win, I think they win it close, you know. Dumb logic, all right, excuse me. But that's what I'm thinking. That's what I got. So give me the Vikings winning this one. Lastly, for the early afternoon slate, Eagles-Giants. Give me the Eagles on the road. Saquon revenge game. I'm going to be shocked if we put up 150 on them, boys. Daniel Jones, I don't trust him versus the Eagles. Might get ugly. Could be a little spooky, though. Little spooky. Wouldn't be shocked, though, if he wins this one. If he gets a good revenge game. But A.J. Brown, Smitty back in the lineup after a disgusting performance versus the Browns. If Nick Sirianni is for real, I expect the Eagles to get an impressive win. Handle business. Blow them Giants out. But yeah, give me the Eagles winning this one and consider it old-fashioned. Next up, you got a battle between L.A. and Las Vegas. Second one of the year for the Raiders, but first one was the Chargers, and they lost the Chargers. Second time, it is against the Rams, and they will lose to the Rams. Max Crosby can't save you, brother. No Devontae Adams. Terrible QB play. Like, I don't know how to feel about this roster. I know what. They're starting running back Zamir White, if I'm not mistaken. Quarterback, terrible. Yeah. Playmakers, not that good. Jacoby Myers. You got Brock Bowers, though. He might pop off. He's going to be their leading target, I think, going forward. But that's not going to save you. I think Matthew Stafford, even with only DeMarcus Robinson and not that many good targets, injuries all over the place, I think they win this game. They'll win by, like, maybe two touchdowns. Rams will feel confident, believe they got something going for them. Even though they might not, and it might just be false hope versus beating Raiders, I'm going to still go with the Rams to win this one. Don't believe the Raiders at all. I'll probably pick against them all year because I don't see a game they win. It's going to be interesting. I think they are in the Shador Sanders talks. I think they need a quarterback. So I think Raiders get the first overall pick and they get Shador Sanders. But that's my opinion right now. I don't see them winning the game, man. You get the Rams and then you get the Chiefs. But yeah, give me the Rams on this one. Next up, we got Commanders, Panthers. Give me the Commanders, Jaden Daniels at home. Yeah, I don't really need to talk much about this. Andy Dalton. I think Jonathan Brooks, the rookie out of Texas, will play this game. Not for sure. I know he's off the IR. Don't know if he's going to play this week, but he is off the IR, so he's close to returning. So that's a positive for the Panthers. But for the Commanders, business as usual. Team lesser than you. Don't you know, treat them like little kids and expect, you know, this is going to be easy. Fight for your win and earn it, and I just expect the Commanders to do that. Jaden Daniels has been electric in the passing game. Him and Terry McLaurin has been one of the best duos in the league to start off the year. So, believe in that. I think that's going to be very successful. And I think they'll give them the dub. Running attack can work. I mean, I believe in these guys, and I think they can do it. So, yeah, give me the Commanders. Next up, game of the week. I think it is by far. Super Bowl rematch, Niners-Chiefs. My heart is telling me go Chiefs, which I got. My brain is telling me Niners. I'm 50-50 on this game. Right now, I'll go with the Chiefs. Won't be shocked if the Niners handle us, though. Juju Smith-Schuster, like yesterday, was limited at practice with a hamstring injury. Everybody knows Juju has his health problems, but if Juju goes down, your top three receivers are Xavier Worthy, Justin Watson, Mecole Hardman. After that, it's Sky Moore. Sky Moore could get real-life snaps. For the Chiefs, seeing Amari Cooper, Davante Adams get traded, probably gave him some juice. Tomorrow, next week, will be week 8. Usually when the trade deadline is, but instead, the trade deadline will be just 2 weeks after that, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, the 22nd, so the trade deadline is on the 5th, election day. Expect that, man. So, yeah, I don't know. They're going to probably add somebody, but you ain't got nobody for this game. I'm expecting Kareem Hunt to get going. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back, so, you know, expect Clyde to get some. Kareem, Samaje Perine, maybe Carson Steele a little. Expect, you know, to see maybe all four of those guys. Travis Kelce can get his. But on the flip side, George Kittle is going to get his. The Chiefs are allow the most receiving yards, I think, targets, catches, all that against tight ends. So, expect that, man, for the, oh my gosh, why am I blanking? Expect that for the Niners. Jordan Mason, they could run the ball. Brock Purdy. I just don't know. Right now, I'm going to the Chiefs, but like I said, don't be shocked if the Niners win. So, yeah, I'm going to stick with the Chiefs, but Niners have everything to believe. Why wouldn't they win? They got a good defense, good tight end. They're giving up yards to tight ends all year. Debo, Brandon Ayuk, Jordan Mason, Purdy. They got everything to beat us, and I wouldn't be shocked if they handle us considerably. But for the Chiefs, it's going to be an eye-opening week. If Juju doesn't play and he's reaggravated another hamstring issue, you're really going to have to get somebody next week. It's no joke. You play the Raiders next week, so maybe you're not in panic mode just because of the guys you play, but still down the line, you got to play teams like the Bills, the Texans. Big games for seeding implications. So I want us to win this game, but I don't want to be in a good way. That makes sense. I want the receivers to look doo-doo. But ass cheeks. I want the receivers to look so bad, but you walk out with the win. Look bad enough to the point Brett Veach is like, damn, at halftime, I probably need to make a call for a trade for somebody. But I want you to still win the game, though. Continue to be undefeated. All right, that's what I want. I want you to be 6-0 after this game, but I want the wide receivers to play so bad. Brett Veach makes a trade. It's Sunday night. But I don't know if that happens. Who knows? Maybe Mahomes plays the best game of his career just because of the game it is. Super Bowl rematch, Fox game of the week, Tom Brady on the call. I won't be shocked if Patrick Mahomes goes off. But I really hope he does. And if he does, though, I hope he goes off with the tight ends and the receivers look doo-doo butt ass. But yeah, give me the Chiefs with this one. Don't be shocked if the Niners win by double digits. But yeah. Lastly, Sunday Night Football, Steelers, Jets. Give me the Steelers. Russell Wilson, I think, will be the starting quarterback for this game. Steelers Nation, let's ride. I just want to see what the fallback will be if the Jets, after Davante Adams is here, what happens. And I'm interested to watch the Jets offense as well. Garrett Wilson has been that guy. He's been getting target on target on target. He's been dominating. I'm interested to see that. I'm interested to see what Garrett Wilson turns into after the Davante Adams trade. What will Alan Lazard become after the trade? Will they continue to run the ball with Breece Hall? Like, I'm interested to see stuff like that. For the Steelers side of things, at home, I think they're underdogs by 1.5. Mike Tomlin, that defense, I believe in them. Offensively, if the defense holds the Jets to under 20 points, you can win this game. I think the Jets defense isn't that good, but hell, Chris Boswell kicks 3 field goals and 1 touchdown for you. I think that could be very enough. I think that could be enough for you to win the game if your defense locks in. For the Jets, though, must win. Biggest game of the season right here. I know you got bigger down the line, but this is the biggest one so far this season. Because if you got Davante Adams and you still lose, everybody in New York is going to shake their head. Everybody. So, even the Steelers winning this one, expect T.J. Watt to sack the shit out of Aaron Rodgers. But that's my guarantee to be for the NFL. T.J. Watt gets a sack on Aaron Rodgers. But that's it for the NFL, and that's it for the podcast today. I know I said the NBA was for today, but in the intro, I corrected it. I didn't know I could do that. Well, it turns out I can. So if it sounds a little sloppy in the beginning, I apologize about that. That's because I'm going to go edit out the fact that I said NBA, because we're not going to do that today. On Monday, I don't have my second class of the day, so we're going to do 2 episodes. One is going to be to recap the MLB, NFL, and college football that weekend, and then we're going to also talk about East-West Wards, playoffs, championship, and all that. So we're going to have a winner. We're going to have an NBA champion, MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, the 1 through 15 standings. You know, hell, who knows? Might do a mock draft, too. I doubt that, man. But we'll see who's in the Cooper Flag sweepstakes, but yeah, that's the goal for Monday. 2 episodes, probably only time just because, I can get a little more in-depth with the NBA just alone and let the recap be the recap. But as always, guys, thank you if you made it this far. Thank you for listening. All the love goes to you guys. Like, follow, share, do whatever you got to do. But as always, like I said, 2 episodes this Monday. Look out for that. And I love you guys. And as always, love and respect one another. And this has been Kenny, and I'll tap in with you guys on Monday. Peace.